Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express on this Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to you and yours out there, to all veterans in every branch of the military. A big day to remember and give thanks. I'm Sean Wally, one half of the Double S Express. My partner, completing the Double S, Sean Boyd. What's going on, buddy?
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. And yes, Sean Wally, congratulatories go out to all the veterans and all the people who have served in our U.S. Armed Forces, past, present, and future. You know, it's nothing like days like this, Mr. Wally. It brings the nostalgia of the country together, and it is some exciting times.
And it's really great to see how the NFL, for one, does great things for breast cancer in October, and now in the beginning of November, they're doing great things for Veterans Day and to thank the troops. And it shouldn't just be a one-day thing. It should be an everyday thing. You see somebody in uniform, you know somebody who's currently serving or who did serve many, many years ago in those horrible wars of the past, to thank them, to buy them that cup of coffee at Starbucks, to grab their meal if you see they're out dining, and just give back.
Yeah, they're the true heroes that bond together and bring together this great country. And it's amazing when we go out to these vineyards and week in and week out, whether you're up in Seattle or me down here in the Bay, you know, once we enter the arenas, we see, you know, all of the athletes and all the players, and everybody's there to watch this great spectacle, which is that professional game. But isn't it amazing, Sean, when there's a young man or a young woman that steps out onto the field that's in fatigues or in their military outfit, how it puts things into perspective when we give thanks, when we give homage to our veterans. And, you know, without fail, whenever this happens, you see Old Glory waving with, you know, 20, 30, 40 people, you know, pulling out that great flag and watching it wave. It just brings chills, man. And, you know, it's an exciting time.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's just great to not only think about the sacrifices that have been made. I mean, if anybody's ever been to Arlington Cemetery or seen pictures or seen TV shows, documentaries on Arlington, and it's just incredible. I've been there myself twice, and it's just amazing to think of how many soldiers have sacrificed for this great country.
Yes, and, you know, again, if it wasn't for our troops paving the way, we wouldn't have the great things that we have. You know, the great stadiums, the great, you know, atmosphere, you know, ourselves for that matter, to actually have the chance to see such great things, you know. And so, you know, I for one am excited about this Veterans Day, and, you know, hope that we can carry this on and, you know, continue to build the fabric of America. Because, you know, sometimes, to be honest with you, Sean Wally, it feels like, you know, it pulls itself apart, you know, with so many differences that go on. But again, today is a day that we say thank you and actually reflect on why it is that we get to do what we do. And again, thank you, veterans.
Absolutely. And just try to remember every single day to thank them and to be thankful for what we have as a country, as a nation, and a part of the best country in the world.
No doubt about it.
And with that being said, there are still sports being played right now, as a matter of fact. Of course, Monday Night Football right now, and Miami not doing so well. And you have to wonder if the circumstances in their locker room might have something to do with it, as Tampa Bay was up 15-0 last I saw.
Well, if you're talking about circumstances in the locker room when it pertains to Rich Incognito and John Martin, that might be the case. Last I checked, myself, Sean Wally, Miami just scored. And so the score is 15-7 in favor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But it doesn't look good for Miami as far as this game is concerned. It looks like Tampa Bay is just stepped out and and taken over. I saw tremendous drives by the Buccaneers in the first opening, and it just looks like Miami's it hasn't caught up to them yet. The whole, you know, magnification of this situation that's going on, but you know, we know that Tampa Bay. Well, you know firsthand that Tampa Bay has been known to blow big leads, so there's still another half to go.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay has got to be one of the biggest question marks of the NFL season. You look at that roster and you look at what they've done in years past, and there should not be a winless team by any means. And you saw what they did last week to Seattle and caught them by a bit of a surprise and got up to a 21-0 lead. And there's too many good, if not great, players on that team to be winless.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, there's been this flux that's been going on between in the leadership, between the head coach and quarterbacks. Of course, Josh Freeman no longer with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and now with the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, the Buccaneers are going through these changes, but at the same time, they're still a great football team that should not be winless. And you're right. You know, hopefully this is the game that gets Tampa Bay off the schneid and gets them out of the, you know, out of the winless column. But, yeah, there shouldn't be any teams that don't have a win.
Now, that being said, we still have one team without a loss because Kansas City did not play this weekend, setting up the big matchup against the Denver Broncos this next weekend.
Man, this is an exciting game. You know, for one, it seems like the Denver Broncos, even though they're, you know, staying consistent with their winning, it seems like they've lost a step a little bit. And what I mean by that, Peyton Manning has been getting touched a little too much as far as the Denver Broncos liking is concerned. He's hit the deck a little bit, has ankle problems, but it sounds like he will be playing this weekend no matter what. And so, you know, this is a big game for the Broncos, but more importantly, a big game for the Kansas City Chiefs, because so far this year, the talk has been, hey, even though you're 5-0, you know, you guys haven't played anybody, or even though you're 8-0, you know, you haven't gone through the toughness. Well, this is the first game for the Kansas City Chiefs, so to speak. I mean, I believe every week when you play in the National Football League, it's a test, but this will be their first big test playing a division foe in the Denver Broncos. And if the Kansas City Chiefs win this, I think, you know, that we have to start looking at them as being a serious contender for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, until anybody knocks them off, they're definitely number one in all the land. And it's going to be an interesting 3 weeks because they play Denver twice in 3 weeks.
And, man, isn't that something? I mean, I've said this week in and week out, who would have thought that the, you know, two teams that we're talking about as top teams in the AFC would be Denver and Kansas City? Of course, we knew Denver, but Kansas City is just the huge shock. If Kansas City can get, you know, I believe, you know, one out of the two between the Denver Broncos, they will have put their mark already into this NFL. I mean, they've already set the mark in this NFL season, but as far as being one of the top teams, not just in the AFC, but in all of the NFL. And this is an Andy Reid team. And when Andy Reid took over, he knew exactly what he was getting into. He had a nucleus of players, both on offense and defense, that, you know, he knew he could build around. And so, and then when he picked up Alex Smith, you know, that was just the icing on the cake. And this is something else that we can talk about as well, is how well Alex Smith is playing. And then, of course, there's a team down here in the Bay, in the San Francisco 49ers, and Colin Kaepernick, who is not really having such a great year so far. And so, you know, there's a huge question mark on the decision of, you know, why San Francisco got rid of Alex Smith.
Yeah, absolutely. And Smith is playing phenomenally for the Chiefs. And as you mentioned, Kaepernick has hit a few hurdles of late. And, you know, in San Francisco yesterday, they took another loss at home to the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers, I mean, this is a team that, you know, we knew that something might be up in the early goings when they played Seattle ever so tough in the early parts of the season. And Seattle wound up winning that game with the last I believe it was one of the final drives of the game. Russell Wilson on a connection, and, you know, the Seahawks wind up winning it 12-7. It was then that, you know, we thought that maybe Carolina was, you know, was a pretty good team. But now that they've gone into the Candlestick and taken care of business yesterday and beaten the 49ers 10-9, we know for a fact that the Carolina Panthers are a solid team to be reckoned with. And I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't look past these guys at all, you know, as far as, you know, down the stretch going into the playoffs, because I believe that they're a playoff team. And look out, you know, look out for any NFC team that has to play these guys in the playoffs, because they mean business and they don't give up points.
And you have to look at Carolina, and it all starts with that defense. That front seven is just dynamic, and that's what gave Seattle fits in the first week when Seattle was able to get away with a 12-7 victory. And now Carolina goes into San Francisco and gets the win and only allows 3 field goals. Kaepernick only 91 yards passing. It all starts with Carolina's D, and Carolina's getting healthy as they now have Lacey Washington's own from Timberline High School, Jonathan Stewart, back in the backfield.
Yeah, you know, you always thought that, you know, if Carolina was going to be good, it would, you know, evolve around that offense. Of course, you know, you have Cam Newton. You had mentioned Jonathan Stewart. And, you know, and then you have that the receivers. You had Steve Smith. And, you know, they have all the pieces in place, you know, on the offensive side. But the defense is just incredible, as you were saying. And their secondary, I mean, you know, probably with the exception of Seattle, their secondary covers like nobody's business, and there are no holes in their defense when teams try to pass on them.
And looking at the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC West, look at their 2 home losses. They lost, obviously, yesterday to Carolina, as we've talked about, and then they lost the game you worked for CBS Sports to Indianapolis, and both times their offense was absolutely putrid.
And, you know, if you're looking at being one of the top teams in the NFL, which, you know, the prognosticators are saying that San Francisco was one of them, you're right, Sean Wally, to have an anemic offense that it's happened not just once, but it's happened on, a, you know, other occasions as well. San Francisco has to figure out what in the world they need to do to move the ball, to push the ball up and down the field. And their biggest key is the injury situation. They had Mario Manningham back for the first time, and he looked okay, and I believe that he will get better. Of course, they're looking at getting Michael Crabtree back as one of the wideouts. And then Vernon Davis goes down yesterday, and he pulled himself out of the game, and I believe he had a concussion. It just seems like that receiver core has never gotten on track. The most consistent thing that the San Francisco 49ers have on the offensive side of the ball is Frank Gore. And, you know, I don't know if Coach Harbaugh is, you know, kind of saving him because he understands it's a long season, but we haven't seen huge breakout games from Frank Gore. We've seen him save the day for the 49ers, but I believe that he's going to start getting the ball more and more as the season goes on, because in order for them to maintain as far as the top 3 in the NFC, they're going to have to lean on Frank Gore. And so, hopefully he can stay healthy for that team to do that.
Yeah, and I was reading today that reports out of San Francisco are that they're going to have to look at bringing in tight ends. As you mentioned, Vernon Davis, their star all-pro tight end, is going to be out for a while possibly, and their backups are hurting, and they're struggling to find, you know, they're getting receivers back, but now they're losing tight ends, which is an important piece to that offense.
Yeah, trying to stay focused, trying to keep your team from getting those nicks and dings, that's the toughest part from being a great team. It's not it's one thing to have a successful year. It's another thing to maintain that consistency. And how can you build that depth in your program? And so San Francisco's learning that, and Seattle will learn that. And, you know, because once you start to have these nicks and dings, you know, you'll find out, again, what type of team you actually have. When those injuries start to happen, are you continuing to win? Is it the next man up? Or is it a situation to where, hey, we're only as good as the starters that we have on the field? And, you know, in order to be the best, you're going to have to learn how to fight through those situations.
Now, Sean, staying with the NFC West, a team that we thought was on the rise coming into this year, the Jeff Fisher-led St. Louis Rams, looked like they finally arrived yesterday as they shocked everybody but themselves and smack the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis.
This is the beauty of the NFL, Sean Wally. It is that, again, and that's why they, you know, they came up with that old saying, on any given Sunday. And, you know, what a game the St. Louis Rams had. And not, you know, just the game that they had, but we always felt like Tavon Austin was going to, you know, step out and have this huge game. And boy, did he ever yesterday. I mean, he ran back two. And one of the kickoffs that he ran back, it looked like it was going, I believe it was a punt return. It was going to go into the end zone, and he decided to snag it at the last minute and pulled that ball in, ran 97 yards for a touchdown. This guy is electric, you know. And then you put on the defensive side with Chris Long doing his thing, you know, maybe St. Louis can, you know, make things a little bit better. I think they're standing right now at 4-6. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's, well, they've had a bye, I believe. So
4-5. I mean, you know, so they're just a little under 500. But, you know, if they can, you know, muster up a couple of games here, we're looking at a, you know, we always thought the NFC West was, you know, a tough division. And it will show in the next couple of weeks if you have all four teams in that division above 500 and vying for a playoff spot.
Might as well stick with the rest of the NFC West. The Arizona Cardinals get a nice home win against the underachieving Houston Texans.
Man, the Houston Texans are, you know, they're reeling fast. And, you know, we talked a little bit about on last week's show about some of the stresses that go on, you know, in coaching. And, of course, Gary Kubiak being absent from the sidelines. You know, and then they're, you know, then there's the Houston Texans in general, Matt Schaub being out for a while. And, you know, this team is trying to find itself. And, you know, you have the Arizona Cardinals coming in, and they're trying to, you know, better themselves as a football team. And it just seemed like the perfect storm for the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, it wasn't anything flashy by Carson Palmer. He just managed the game. And yeah, it was tough. It was tough for the Texans, but great for the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals now have a 2-game winning streak, and they sit at 5-4, currently in third place in the NFC West. And a correction to the Rams: they have not had their bye week yet. They are 4-6.
Okay.
The 49ers in second at 6-3, and the Seattle Seahawks, after the drubbing in Atlanta, the wounded Falcons, Seattle now 9-1 after a 33-10 victory in Atlanta.
Yes, so Seattle, you know, that, you know, 33-10 against the Atlanta Falcons, the beginning of the season. Again, you know, I can eat crow, and I said that the Atlanta Falcons were going to be the team that goes to the Super Bowl in the NFC, and boy, was I wrong. And Seattle proved yesterday that going in as a repeat from last year's playoffs, going into Atlanta and just beating the mess out of the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, you know, we were waiting for this day to arrive for, you know, where the offense clicked and the defense was clicked at the same time. And Russell Wilson had a great game. I think his passer rating was right up there at around 138, 140, if it wasn't 158, which is a perfect score for a quarterback rating. But Russell Wilson had an incredible game yesterday to lead his team, not to mention, you know, you had Golden Tate. He got credit for one amazing catch in the end zone, but there were a couple of times, a couple of catches that he made. One was out of bounds. That this guy is just phenomenal, and you know, Seattle looks like that team that's just starting around the corner, and they see, you know, they can see that finish line, and so it's going to be exciting to watch Seattle in the next few weeks to see if they can, you know, maintain this momentum that they have.
And Seattle's only getting healthier as they are practicing. There's two starting tackles, right and left, being Breno Giacomini at right tackle and the left tackle being Russell Okung, both practicing with the team. And today, Seattle activated from the PUP list number 11, one Percy Harvin at wide receiver.
Man, the crowd, the 12th man is definitely jumping up and down for Percy Harvin. There are so many jerseys that I see. That's one of the top sellers outside of the Russell Wilson jersey, is the Percy Harvin jersey. So there'll be a lot of excited fans to see Percy on the field for the first time. I don't know if that's going to be this weekend, but definitely in the next couple of weeks, we should see that sighting. and we'll see the Seahawks at full strength.
Yeah, it's interesting how many teams are starting to get healthy, get players back they lost in training camp, get players back they lost in the first month of the season. And now you look at it, and we're almost to December, and then comes playoff time. So it's a good time to get healthy, something the Seahawks are trying to do. And, of course, every team wants to get healthy right now, but it doesn't happen for everybody, as the 49ers are finding out, and other teams as well.
Yeah, team chemistry is the huge cog that keeps teams winning. And, we talked about injuries a little bit ago. Those things are going to happen. But when you have that team chemistry, when you have that focus, that bond, all the way from OTAs, or actually before that in the off season, where you have a handful or a nucleus of guys that get together and they're just going over routes or they're going over techniques, all that time in the off season that brings up to this point right now, this is why you do those things. And so when you have that team chemistry, again, it seems to supersede some of the other things, and Seattle definitely has that team chemistry. You can see it. You can see it by the way their swagger is on the field. You can see it how, the fans are starting to respond, and they're traveling in droves even down to the ATL. And, this is a strong drive that Seattle is making, and a lot of people are starting to jump on the bandwagon and believe, and that's what you need. That team chemistry starts to roll a whole bunch of other things, and then you become an unstoppable force.
And an unstoppable force is what all NFL teams want to be in hopes to get to the big game in New York / New Jersey, as the new Giants and Jets Stadium will be hosting the Super Bowl in February, which is interesting because it's going to be the first outdoor cold weather Super Bowl.
Man, all I know is bring your goose down, triple goose down, your pea coats, scarves, hats, the whole nine, because I guess the Farmer's Almanac says that it is going to be a cold one in February. And so I don't know where the NFL got this one from, where it would be okay to have the Super Bowl in New Jersey. But there's a first for everything. And so we'll see, Mr. Wally.
Absolutely. We'll have a lot more time to talk about that, and as we get closer to playoff time in the NFL. All right. Well, coming back after the break, we will see if our big-time guest will be calling in to talk to us here tonight on the program, and we'll dive into what Sean Boyd was doing Saturday for Fox Sports and college football. Coming up after this, you're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Call the show, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. Let us know what you're thinking about, what you want to talk about, anything, NFL, NCAA. We got the NBA that we haven't really spoke of yet, and they're underway. So much to get to, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the NBA. You know, of course, that you know it's at the beginning of the season, but there are some things that are happening. Of course, the Indiana Pacers are separating themselves early in this NBA ticket to, you know, one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NBA. Of course, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies tonight, 95-79, so that they are the lonely undefeated team left in the NBA, I believe. And, you know, that speaks volumes because this is a team that was real close to getting to the NBA Finals last year and, of course, losing to the Miami Heat.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, you know, the super team down in Miami. Can they repeat and who's going to knock them off? And early on, you know, there have been a couple surprises around the league.
Yeah, it's one thing to repeat like they did last year, meaning the Miami Heat. It's another thing to three-peat. And, you know, also what you're looking at is no team in NBA history has gone to the NBA Finals 4 years in a row. Now, you think about that. Think about all the teams. You think about the great Boston Celtic teams, the great Los Angeles Laker teams, and, of course, the super Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls teams. None of those teams had gone to the finals, NBA Finals, 4 years in a row. So if the Miami Heat were to do that this year, they'd be the first NBA team to do that. You talk about a huge target on your back and how tough it is to actually do that. I believe Miami's figuring that out as they've taken their lumps. Of course, they lost a couple of nights ago to the Boston Celtics. Former Sonic Jeff Green, now playing for the Boston Celtics, hits a game-winning three-pointer in Miami with just a second left to raise them over, meaning the Boston Celtics over the Miami Heat. And, you know, Miami's starting to figure out that these teams are for real, even in the early goings of the season.
You know, and the season is so long that you have to wonder, can they get through the grind and, you know, everything one game at a time? You have to play your best and try to do your best every single night, night in and night out. And it's always a testament of which team can do that. And, you know, you might think, oh, it's only November, those games don't matter. But come playoff time, every single game matters.
82 regular season games proves that it matters. And, you know, that's a tough season. You look at an NFL season, which is 16 games, 82, that's a lot of games. And, you know, you factor in all the travel and, you know, the practice times in between. You have to be really methodical in order to, like I said before, not only repeat, but go back for a fourth year. And so that would say a lot for the Miami Heat if they're able to do that.
Switching gears to Saturday in college football. Sean, you were able to work for Fox Sports yet again, but this time on the college game. How did that go? Where were you, and what'd you end up doing?
Well, I got the chance to work with Fox Sports at the Cal-USC game, and that was at Cal Berkeley Memorial Stadium. This was my first time being at the newly renovated stadium in Berkeley. And if you haven't been there, it's a treat in both ways. One, if you park at the stadium, you'll find out that you always have to walk up. So the stadium is at the top of the campus. And I don't know why in the world they did it this way. They just did. But once you get to Cal Berkeley Memorial Stadium, it is one of the most beautiful venues that you could be in, you know, both college and professional. And I was in awe. I, you know, just looking around at the surroundings. And, of course, just being able to work for college football once again, you know, there's a difference, Sean. There's a difference between college football and pro football. And the way the fans get excited and get up for these games and the way the kids play the game of football, it's entirely different. And there's more of a joy and there's more of an added incentive when, you know, when these guys are playing college football. Unfortunately, this game, Sean Wally, was not a game to where we saw two gladiators going back and forth. I believe that Cal Berkeley is definitely in the rebuilding phases. USC coach Orgeron has that team on all cylinders, and you know what a job that he has done. You know, of course, after USC and athletic director Pat Hayden firing Lane Kiffin, what a job that coach Orgeron has done as far as turning this team around. Just beat the tar out of the Bears, and you know, I hope for the best for Cal Berkeley, because you know it can't get any worse for him right now.
Yeah, they've definitely taken a steep dive off of the top of their game where they were a few years ago with Aaron Rodgers and Coach Tedford, and things were going great, and you know, Marshawn Lynch was there, and now all of a sudden, man, they are a completely different team.
Yeah, just think of those names that you just ripped off there, and you know, not to, you know, leave out DeSean Jackson. You know, I believe you, or maybe you did just say DeSean Jackson, Travis Best. I mean, you know, all these are not Travis, but Jarvis Best. A lot of these guys, you know, coming out of Cal, and you know, of course, Nnamdi Asomugha coming out of Cal. You know, just these great players. It's a great recruiting tool to, you know, this campus, this stadium, and it's just going to be a matter of time before, you know, Cal can figure out what it is that they want to be as their staple. But right now, it just looks like there's a bunch of chaos on the football field.
And what did you make of USC as you were there working the game, witnessing that game firsthand? You know, USC went through the coaching change, and they were able to put a whooping on Cal.
Yeah, you know, what I saw is I saw an about face on the way they started the season, and I saw the nostalgia, you know, in USC. Whenever that band comes to town, it is a show. And that band marched all the way up the hill, and they played strong, and they played into the stadium, and they played throughout the game. And, you know, that band is, you talk about Seattle and the 12th man, that USC Trojans marching band is a 12th man for the Trojans. And, you know, once you see all of that, again, that nostalgia, USC put on a tremendous show by just manhandling the Bears, you know, both on the offensive side and the defensive side. There was a point to where, you know, I was running to get some of the, you know, some of the stats, you know, for the first half. And as I was running through the tunnel, you know, there were a few fans that were coming in at halftime, Cal Berkeley fans, and they immediately, when they were walking into the stadium, they looked at the scoreboard and saw the score, and they just said, "Jeez." You know, and they turned around and walked back out. they didn't just say, geez, they had a couple of other expletives as they looked at the score. But then they just walked out of the stadium. And I thought, wow, you know, isn't that something, you know, to see the reaction of the crowd like that or fans like that. And, you know, again, I hope that Cal Bears, and I know they will. I know things are going to get better, and I know the recruiting is going to be a lot, you know, going to be stronger for them. I know that there's particular, you know, there's a particular somebody in my household that would love to be a Cal Bear. And, you know, so they're going to be some great athletes that are coming through. They're just going to have to find a way to win to just stave off all, you know, this plummet that they're having.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Elk Grove, California. I am Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, as we are talking Cal-USC football that Sean worked for Fox Sports on Saturday. And Sean, getting back to Cal, what do you think the problem is? You've been to their stadium, seen the campus, seen the gorgeous sights up on the hills overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge. You can see the bay and Alcatraz. What do you think the issue is? Is it coaching stability? Are they just not recruiting right? Do you have any idea of what's gone wrong in Cal?
Well, it's just a changing of the guard. You know, you had Jeff Tedford that ran that program for so long, and now you have a new coaching staff coming in. It's just going to take a little bit of time for, you know, that old team to move out and allow the new team to come back in. Now, if you're a great program, it doesn't matter when you change coaches, because you can change from one coach to the next, and then, you know, you can have instant success, as we see in USC. But with Cal, it's going to take a little bit more time to actually figure out what it is that they want to do. Right now, they just don't know, Sean. They don't know if they want to be a total passing team, or if they want to be a running team, if they want to hang their hat on the defense. And so, you know, it's a work in progress. But again, you mentioned everything's put into place. Cal Berkeley has spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to renovate their athletic facilities, which are some of the best athletic facilities. You know, I'm in awe of the Pac-12 and their athletic facilities, and Cal Berkeley's are ranked right up there at the top. Of course, there's only one supreme in the Pac-12, and that's the Oregon Ducks facilities, but Cal Berkeley's are right up there.
Let's head on out to the holysmokednuts.com hotline and welcome in a caller from Tacoma, Washington, and that is Patrick. Patrick, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, welcome to the show, Pat. What kind of questions do you have?
Pretty much, you know, just heard that the famous Max Strong was in attendance tonight and was definitely hopefully I didn't miss that. Just got off work, was kind of interested in talking to a great team out there and knowing that the 12th man is doing a great job out here in the Northwest.
Well, you know, you haven't missed Max Strong. As a matter of fact, our engineer is trying to get a hold of Mac as we speak, and we apologize for not having him on yet, but he should be on you know, shortly. But yeah, you haven't missed him yet, Pat. So yeah, so you're
that's great.
So you're a bona fide Seahawks fan, is that correct?
A little bit closet Seahawks fan. I'm tied in between the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks. Yes, the Detroit Lions, I said it, but they're out there finally doing some things. Megatron has got some company from Reggie Bush and friends, and just always like the defensive line. And Ndamukong Suh has definitely saved a lot of money without getting the penalties this year. But then the 12th man, of course, with what Pete Carroll is doing, I'm a diehard Pete Carroll fan, and I just like the 12th man as we speak for what's going on. So I'm definitely excited and glad that I have an opportunity to talk to a Seahawk great if he's available.
Man. So, yeah, the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, so you're kind of a closet Seahawks fan? Okay. All right. So how do you think they're doing? Of course, they're 9-1 this year. You know, where do you see them going? Are they going to the Super Bowl?
Well, I would like to say that they are going to the Super Bowl, granted the fact that they could take care of home field. You know, the 12th man is what they live off of. That's what they base their character off of, the 12th man crowd. And, you know, as long as they take care of business at home, you know, Russell Wilson, for what he's doing, he's great. He's got a terrific supporting cast. And for the way that they're playing right now with just, you know, injuries left and right, with the backup still being able to produce and still keep the momentum going for them, I'm pretty positive and optimistic for what their future can be like, especially in the Northwest where they haven't had a championship since 1979, which was the Seattle Sonics. So I'm looking forward to some momentum swinging out this way. But I also like Detroit because I've been a Barry Sanders fan from day one and, you know, kind of like Detroit ever since. And the Seahawks were in the AFC back then, but now that they're in the NFC, it kind of makes it kind of hard to try to root for two teams in the NFC, but, you know, those are the only two teams I like.
Patrick from Tacoma on the Holy Smoke Nuts hotline called the show at 888-429-5471. And, Pat, I gotta ask, you know, a little birdie told me that you're involved in track with youth, involved with youth track. So talk a little bit about that and what you're doing in the community.
Oh, I am involved with track and field. I definitely have been doing this since 2001. The track team is called 1911 Track Club. We are definitely a nationally known team. It's been a great ride for some of the people that we've been able to put out with a recent candidate that just attended the University of Oregon on a full scholarship. So listen out for this guy, Marcus Chambers. He ran the fastest 400-meter time in the nation last year at 46.30. Now he's going to the University of Oregon. He's going to do some great things. But I got somebody else that's possibly going to replace him already just that quick. And I just like teaching the kids and helping them to go to school for free and save their parents a lot of money. So that's been a thing I've been involved with since day one. My brother got me involved with that, so kind of following his lead and trying to take it to another level.
Well, it sounds like you've had a great brother who guided you in the right direction.
Oh, yeah. You know, I had some times where I had to bicker with him and try to, you know, always thought that I was better or whatever like that. You know how you try to show up your older sibling. But It is what it is, and, you know, that's the motto that I use with my track club. It is what it is. We are who we are, and that's what it's all about. And I got kids that follow that program, and they follow that motto, and it's just great that they're able to enjoy running, because not a lot of kids like to run these days, but to have them learn about how to run the right way and do it the right way, it's been an awesome thing. As a matter of fact, I got a couple kids listening on the radio right now as we speak. They didn't believe that I was actually going to be on the radio, possibly having an opportunity to talk. So this is actually good that they get to witness this.
Well, Pat, wow. You know, there's you're definitely doing some great things, and you're right along the lines on what we want on the show. Of course, you know, you're an impromptu, just a caller calling in. But a lot of the things that we try to do is allow people to speak and talk about some of the things that they're doing in the community. And it sounds like you and the 1911 Track Club are doing some awesome things, and definitely keep up the great work. You know, it sounds like something that, you know, these kids, you know, I would love to see and get a chance to, you know, be around. So, yeah, I mean, if you have any information, if there's a way that they can get a hold of 1911, how could they do that?
They can definitely look on the website. 1911trackclub.com is our official website, and they can check out all of the information and our up-to-date schedules that we have coming up this year. Once again, we're not a mom-and-pop organization. We definitely compete against colleges, and we go nationally to the Simplot, which will be in Idaho. December 15th, we'll be in Chicago for the National Indoor Track Meet. And then, of course, we'll be heading down to California for the Rancho Cucamonga Track Meet, as well as the we'll be down at Reno, which is our historic, you know, routine tradition track meet down in Reno, and that'll be in June. And then the Oregon Track City Classic, which is following after that, which is the second week of July. So we're just having fun with it. The kids get the experience. They get to meet some of the good college athletes. They not only get to meet them, but they get to compete against them as well and get to gain that experience. And the cool thing about it is when the crowd understands that these kids are not necessarily just high schoolers, but some of these kids are sixth grade, middle schoolers, and they're able to compete against these college levels, and some of them are actually able to beat them, it's a wonderful thing. And we have all the stats and all of our roster that you can check out on our website. Once again, it's www.1911trackclub.com, and all of our information is there. And Shelman Simpson, who is our founder of the program, he is definitely somebody to look forward to and get all of the information, and myself included.
And Patrick, as somebody like myself is just curious and not the big aficionado on track, 1911, is there a reason for that number in the name of the track club and the website? Is that specific to a race or anything, or is that just something that, that somebody picked along the way?
Well, 1911, it's funny because a lot of people ask that, and I used to make a joke about that in the beginning. People would want to know what does 1911 stand for, and I would always tell them that, you know, that was the year that Santa Claus would deliver all the candy canes to everybody in the Christmas time, and everybody would be blessed. But no, it was just a subtle joke because the symbol it starts from January 5th, 1911 was the year that the fraternity Kappa Alpha Psi was incorporated, and that comes from my mentors, Sherman Simpson, who is definitely a noob, what they call it, and they are known for what they do, and they're the originators, and I'm just glad to be part of the team and being somebody that has originated something new that nobody else has done before. So it's definitely an honor, and I wear it proudly with the team.
Awesome, Patrick, doing great things as a coach and mentor at 1911trackclub.com in the Pacific Northwest. Check them out if you want to just go out and support and root them on, or if you've got a youth athlete that is great in track and wants more experience and wants to better themselves, and check them out, 1911trackclub.com. Patrick in Tacoma, thanks so much for your time tonight. Call in on the holysmokednuts.com hotline.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Pat. Man, that was a great call. You know, just calling in out of the blue. Of course, he wanted to speak with Mac. You know, the 1911 track. Pat mentioned something that, you know, like it sounded like a slogan. You know, it is what it is, and we are who we are. And, you know, I mean, you know, I want to be a part of that. I want to, you know, definitely get out and see these guys. I'm going to take a look on the website and see what these guys can do. Something tells me they're an awesome track club.
Yeah, it sounds like they're traveling all across the country and going to Reno and different parts of Oregon and the Pacific Northwest and all the way to Chicago. That's got to be an amazing experience for not only the coaches and mentors, but the young track athletes as well.
Yeah, you know, we don't talk about this enough, meaning track and field, but track and field is the actual staple to all sports. And it doesn't get recognized because, you know, it isn't a glamour sport like, you know, like football, baseball, or basketball, unless you're a Usain Bolt or, you know, a dynamic sprinter. But with that being said, it is the glue to what helps all of these athletes in any sport become and excel at the highest level. And so if you don't have your, if you don't have a great stride and you don't have an awesome drive phase and you can't get your mechanics down, you will not be the best athlete that you could possibly be. So I'm glad that we had Patrick on actually talking about track and field, because again, we don't talk about it enough.
Staying with the track and field theme, Sean Boyd, you were a fabulous track athlete in your day growing up in high school and college, and have been a part of great track and field teams, and you get a chance on Saturday to call cross country, which is a form of track and field and definitely running, in the CIF Sac Joaquin section for the NFHS network.
Yeah, so the National Federation of High School Sports, you know, I was actually slated, Sean, to call the CIF soccer championships this upcoming weekend, but they switched it on me and said, hey, how would you like to do the cross-country championships? And I thought, man, this what a joy to get a chance to call a sport that I, you know, participated in that actually paid for my schooling. And so, you know, right now I'm so excited that, you know, I can't even begin to tell you. I'm thinking about, you know, man, I get to, you know, call a sport like a Dwight Stone and a Craig Massback and Steve Lewis and Otto Bolden, you know, and all these guys. And so, you know, I'm thinking, here's my chance to come in on the scene and do something that I truly love, and that's to call either track and field or cross country.
And absolutely, if you want to keep tabs and take a look at the work Sean Boyd will be doing on Saturday, that will be available a video feed with video and audio online at nfhsnetwork.com. That's nfhsnetwork.com. And I do believe there is a small fee to have the rights to the broadcast, and you know there are costs involved to pay the people that are doing the work, like Sean Boyd, and to buy the equipment, and you know it's not cheap to run an online broadcast and have cameras and all the cables and the microphones and everything. And so, you know, if you want to check out Sean Boyd's work Saturday, which I definitely will be doing, nfhsnetwork.com.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. You know, and again, we put the people in place that know what they're doing and know what they're talking about. And of course, if you, you know, for the people whose kids are participating in this, this is something great that they will always have. And so, you know, I don't take this lightly. And, you know, of course, we get into this field, Sean Wally, because we feel that we are the best at painting the picture. And all I want to do is take that paintbrush and make a broad stroke and bring it to you the best way that I know how. And so, you know, again, this Saturday is, you know, my first shot at calling cross country. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to it, Sean.
Coming up after the break, we will wrap up the show unless Max Strong calls in. If you want to call in, 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471 to be on the double with the Double S Express. Be right back after this.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images, Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images, Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, as we are wrapping up show number 27.
Yeah, and show number 27 brought us a lot of excitement. Of course, you know, we got a chance to talk about, you know, the NFL, of course, and talking about a little bit of college and some of the things we did over the weekend. But our caller for the day, Patrick from Tacoma, calling in and getting the chance to educate us a little bit about track and field and you know, some of the things and some of the ins and outs, some of the people that he's coaching. And so he got a chance to talk also about his track club, 1911 Track Club. You know, so it's been an exciting show.
You know, Sean, one of the things I wanted to get to briefly with our supposed big-time guest of the night, Max Strong, former Seattle Seahawk fullback. Hopefully we'll get him on another show. Is a big game in the SEC that would have touched both of your hearts. The Georgia Bulldog, Max Strong, and the one-time Auburn
member,
Mr. Boyd, as Auburn and Georgia will face off this weekend.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I wanted to talk with Max Strong about that also. Of course, Mark Richt, the head coach at Georgia, doing some good things as Georgia Bulldogs, 6-3. Of course, they beat the tar out of Appalachian State on Saturday. You know, Georgia was expected to do, you know, a little bit better. Right now, they're ranked number 25 in the country. But you can't say enough about my Auburn Tigers. War Eagle to the Auburn Tigers and everything that's been going on with them this year. After that early season loss to LSU, the Auburn Tigers have been running the table. And right now, this weekend, the Auburn Tigers are getting ready to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. And I can tell you, I don't want to look ahead. We can't look ahead. But I wanted to talk with Max Strong about that and what he thought the chances of his Georgia Bulldogs were to go up against the Auburn Tigers. I can tell you firsthand that I do not see the Auburn Tigers losing. And it would set up after next week a huge Iron Bowl contest between the Auburn Tigers and the Alabama Crimson Tide in Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama. And I'm telling you, I'm starting to see a lot of, you know, especially my Facebook friends and family and all that kind of stuff. I see a bunch of Crimson Tide people coming out of the woodworks, and it disgusts me, to be honest with you, because I can tell you firsthand that I believe that the Auburn Tigers are going to do the business that no other team has done this year, and that's bring down the Crimson Tide to where the Auburn Tigers can move themselves into that BCS championship by the end of the year.
Bold statement by Sean Boyd claiming that Auburn will upend Alabama, but that is not what's on the docket this weekend as Georgia and Alabama will tussle for, did you know this, Sean Boyd, the 117th time?
Old rivals, man. And you know, the very first time I stepped off the plane into SEC territory, Auburn, Alabama, you could feel the nostalgia, and you knew firsthand that, you know, this is something entirely different. Of course, you know, me growing up in the Pacific Northwest and getting a chance to see how rivals work and watching them on TV. And of course, there's a strong rival in Washington and Washington State and everything that they do, but it pales in comparison. Everything pales in comparison to the rivals that take place in the SEC. And I know that it's tough for Pac-12 people to understand it. And I know that people want to talk about the Oregon Ducks and how, you know, they have strong rivals and they play tough games and this, that, and the other. The Oregon Ducks cannot hold a candle to what goes on in the SEC. It doesn't matter. And I repeat, the Pac-12 is a strong conference, but it has nothing on the SEC. And for Georgia and Auburn to play, and you said the 117th time, did you say?
Correct.
Yeah, the 117th time. I remember the times that when we played Georgia, we beat the mess out of Georgia, and I remember fans. I mean, the 90-year-old couple walking out, and this grandpa was so upset that his Georgia Bulldogs lost to the Auburn Tigers. He was so upset. He couldn't believe, you know, that this happened. It was just the most ornery look that you could ever see. And, you know, that is what SEC football is from top down. I mean, when the kids come out of the womb, the kids have their favorite college sweatshirt or whatever already made for them as soon as they come out of the womb. It's not an NFL team. It's college. And so SEC football, SEC, everything reigns supreme. And I know I kind of got on a tangent there. This weekend, Georgia Bulldogs are going to step out on the field and take on the Auburn Tigers. And I can't see anything but an Auburn victory setting up for the Iron Bowl coming in for the week after.
Man, I'm almost expecting a phone call from our Oregon Duck insider, David Massey, to go round and round with you after claiming that, you know, Oregon's good, but SEC football is better. And
tell me I'm wrong. That Oregon had the chance in the national championship a couple of years back, right? And what happened? So the Oregon Ducks play a great, and don't get me wrong, because my Oregon paid for my kid's school, and my son got an education at Oregon also. But we went through this a couple of years ago as well, that SEC football is the dominant in football, SEC football. So, case in point, the SEC has big, strong guys that can rip and run up and down the field, right? And correct me if I'm wrong on that, Sean. Wally, would that be an accurate assessment?
Of course.
They're big, they're strong. You know, it looks like you just add water and these guys are, boom, 6'4", 300 or whatever, and they're just these strong specimens. Oregon Ducks had nice, gimmicky, quick, fast guys. It looks great on the screen, and, you know, it's exciting. They can put up 100 points on anybody whenever they want when that team is inferior. Just this past week, now you looked at all of the Pac-12 teams. All the Pac-12 teams are running this hurry-up offense, and everybody, it seems like, is copying Oregon in the Pac-12, except for one, the Stanford Cardinal. Which conference do you think that Stanford mimics more, the Pac-12 or the SEC? They're big, strong, upfront guys that will beat the mess out of you as the game goes on, and they have strong, savvy athletes that can manage a game. That team, that Stanford Cardinal team, looked a lot like an SEC team. And so, you know, but with that being said, the SEC has to go through this week in and week out. There are no breaks. They don't get a chance to play any teams that are weak or whatever. I mean, you can name an SEC school and you go, ooh, wow, that team's tough. Ooh, wow, that team's tough. Again, they don't get the breaks. And so, yeah, I've argued this one before, and I would love to have one of our Pac-12 aficionados on so we can go back and forth on this, because I think it makes for a great debate.
So do you think that it's fair or correct to say that this style is strictly this conference, or that a certain coach just chooses to play that way, that a Chip Kelly is fast and furious, that a New England Patriots offense is fast and furious, and conversely, some of the SEC teams are go for the big brute guys, just like down at Stanford. And yes, Stanford did beat Oregon this past Thursday in that big Pac-12 matchup. So is it more a conference style or style of the coaches?
I'd probably say a little bit of both, Sean Wally. And as I had mentioned before, you're starting to see more teams in the Pac-12 follow suit because, you know, Oregon has had such great success in what they do, not just within the conference, but against other teams that aren't as superior as they are. And so once that happens, then, you know, you'll start to have these teams fall into place. The thing is when you have these bigger, when you have these solid teams, such as the SEC, well then, you know, again, they're going to fight and fight week in and week out.
Let's head on out to the holysmokednuts.com phone line and welcome in David, who I believe is David Massey, our Oregon Ducks insider, who might want to chime in on this SEC talk. What are you saying? Go ahead, David.
Hey, you guys knew I couldn't let you get away with it.
You knew. I knew it. I knew I would call them out. Man,
come on now.
I would love to, if there's anybody that can explain Oregon Ducks football, it is David Massey, who eats, sleeps, and breathes Oregon Ducks football. Okay, David, let's hear it. You have a strong Oregon Ducks team that has put their staple in the NCAA consistently for the past, let's say, 12 years. 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it going to take for them to get to the national title, not just get to the national championship, but actually win that national championship?
Okay, well first, let me start this by saying that that anything that I say here is just my opinion. And listen, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm second-guessing or critiquing Mark Helfrich or the program or anything that's been done up to this point.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Now, with that being said, honestly, if I think the only thing that needs to happen for us to get over that hurdle is a tweak a few things here or there. I've been, since Thursday, I've heard a lot of people saying that, oh, you know, that's smash mouth football. That's how you win football games, and that's the way to get it done. And to a certain extent, I agree with that because, to be quite honest with you, I love that type of smash mouth football. But at the same time, I think that when you look at that game Thursday night, people, they want to try to use that as a benchmark as well as our game against Auburn, our game against LSU. And like I said, and I'll give it across the board, Stanford, Thursday, LSU, Auburn in the past, yeah, they were more physical than we were up front, and they had a lot of size and everything. But ultimately, I think if you go back and look at those games, we shot ourselves in the foot a lot of times. Prime example, Thursday night, there were plays that normally, you know, Mariota, you know, he would have completed a pass, or Huff or Addison, they would have caught the pass. So I mean, when you look at like things like, you know, like some of the turnovers that we had, you know, fumbles. I mean, so those are self-inflicted wounds. We fumbled the ball twice, you know.
Right.
And so, like I'm saying, it's like, and the other thing that I haven't heard anybody mention at this point, so I'm also going to bring it out once again. This isn't me criticizing the program, but I think that one thing that we really missed on Thursday night was a guy like Colt Lehrle. You know, because to be honest, think about in the past how you've seen him slide into the backfield and actually be a blocking back or sometimes even a tailback. But the difference is when you have a guy who's 6'4", you know, 235, 240, with that kind of size and that kind of speed and strength, you know, we definitely could have used him in those short down situations as well as kind of a safety valve for Marcus Mariota. You know, and so like I said, I don't think that, you know, trust me, I get it. I know people right now who they're talking about burn down the program. We got to recruit this person. We got to go. We got to bring in fullbacks. I totally disagree with that. I think what we need to do is execute when we get on those big stages. Because right now, I think when you look at the Stanford game as well as the game against LSU and Auburn, I mean, yeah, there was a physical advantage that they had with size and everything. But I think that our speed and our persistency, it was starting to wear teams down. But we can't put ourselves behind the eight ball and try and get a come from behind victory because, once again, in the last 10 years, the only time that we have ever been significantly down and came back successfully and won the game was against Arizona, I believe it was, about 3 years ago, three or four years ago, back when we still had Jeremiah Masoli was the quarterback, and the fans poured out of the stands, and we marched down, tied that game, sent it to overtime, and then went on to win that game. That was one. The other one was against Oklahoma, probably about 10, 12 years ago against Oklahoma when we had the two onside kicks. But besides that, we're not the kind of team, we're not built for that type of football. We're not built to be down by four touchdowns and come back in a quarter. We're just not built for that. So right now, I don't think it's so much that we have to revamp anything. I just think we need to execute, focus on our game mentally. And like I said, yeah, you tweak a few things here or there. You bring in a few more guys like Colt Lyrella, things like that.
David Massey joining us on the HolySmokedNuts.com phone lines from Portland, Oregon. David was hearing Sean Boyd rant and rave that SEC football is the lay of the land. David, a former Oregon Duck football player himself. And David, the question I put to Sean a few moments before you called, you may have heard, my question was, is it more of a conference style, like how Sean Boyd was saying, hey, the Stanford style, the smash mouth football is SEC football, or is it a coach's style? Because you look at a Chip Kelly and his fast-paced offense that was at Oregon and now is in the NFL, or you look at the New England Patriots and their up-tempo, no-huddle, fast offense. Well, that's a Bill Belichick style. What do you think on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it is kind of conference-wise, but also it is comes with the coaching philosophy, because when you look at the schools top to bottom, one thing about Stanford, they've always had a big, massive line. Even back in my day, they've always had a huge, massive line. However, they've also been the kind of team where they tweak things. Because also back in my day, they ran a no huddle back then. You know, a lot of people forget that they ran a no huddle with Steve Spenstrom, and I'll tell you, as a defensive player, it's tough to prepare for it, because when you run a play and you get up and they're lined up and they're looking at the sidelines, getting their signals sent in, it puts a lot of pressure on you. So I think that's why you see a lot of that in the Pac-12 as well as some of the other conferences, and also in the NFL. And so I think that, like, the tempo, the speed, I think that's definitely, that's more of a Pac-12, but it's kind of trickling out to some of the other schools. But then also you do have some of the coaching philosophies. I think that right now there's a lot of Pac-12 teams. They want to do a little bit more what Oregon is doing as far as the speed game and just really trying to wear you down and wear you down over a period of time. But yeah, I mean, so as far as Stanford, I mean, you know, there are Pac-12 teams that have also always had that kind of size. Stanford is one of them. USC is another. UCLA used to. UW used to. You know, so, I mean, so there's been Pac-12, Pac-10 schools that have had it. But it's just a matter of kind of a younger coaching philosophy, I believe.
Hey, David, you'd mentioned something a few minutes ago as far as you believe that maybe the Ducks should have, you know, motioned that extra back in the backfield. Why do you think that the Ducks didn't do that?
Honestly, I think right now, primarily one of the reasons why they didn't do it, because if you look at the roster, I mean, they really don't have a secondary big power back on the roster, you know, and that's why, like I said, the what really stuck out in my mind was how in the past we've seen that be Colt Lyrella in the past,
right.
You know, and I think, you know, and I think right now, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Tyner, from any of them, but none of those guys that we have, I mean, we don't have a power back. In fact, I think probably the last power back that we've had was LeGarrette Blount.
Right.
You know, and besides that, we've had a lot of kind of mid-sized, really speed, you know, compact power guys, but we haven't had a true bruiser. And maybe that's what we need, you know. And like I said, if we had a bruiser out there on Thursday night and maybe another 10 or 15 pounds on our lineman, yeah, maybe things go differently. But also, if we execute better, things go differently. Once again, not criticizing the coaches or anything like that, but, you know, if we would have kicked field goals, if we would have took the points, you know, it's like, you know, so there's so many things that go into the game. But I think that more than anything, if we just tweak a few things here or there, add 10 or 15 pounds here or there, you know, I truly do believe that we can win a national championship. But that's not to, and also that's not to take anything away from the SEC. I don't want anybody to think that I'm disparaging them, because when you look at across the board, Alabama, LSU, Auburn, I mean, they have been dominant, you know, the last, you know, I mean, hell, 10, 12 years as far as winning national championships. But also, when you look at those top three teams, when you look at the bottom, the people below that becomes kind of a bottomless pit, which is why I feel that the Pac-12 top to bottom is a tougher conference. But like I said, when you look at the SEC, once you get past those top three, you got some pretty suspect teams out there. And in fact, if people remember back to the first week of the season, Auburn and Cal played in a barn burner. I mean, this is Cal. One of the worst teams in the Pac-12, you know, and they were out there giving Auburn a run for their money. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, Washington State. Yeah, that was and that was a, you know, that was a tough game for Auburn in, you know, in the early goings. And, you know, I don't know. And you're right. I mean, when you're saying the Pac-12 is, you know, has some parity, I do believe that the SEC has a strong bit of parity as well. But, you know, when those two met at the beginning of the season, Mike Leach had that team on all cylinders. And you know, I have to pat him on the back for that. It also could point out to the slow starts that the SEC has at the beginning of the season. If you want to get one of them, you play them early in the season.
Exactly.
And the Oregon Ducks, I mean, let's face it. You know, as I was mentioning before, they are the pinnacle of the Pac-12, and so a lot of teams are going to, especially in the Pac-12, are going to follow suit, and you're going to see a lot of, you know, different variations of the hurry up. You're seeing Cal do it. You see the University of Washington do it. It's one of those things that they say in the South that's often imitated but never duplicated. And I don't think that you could duplicate what the Oregon Ducks do. There are different variations of it, and any coach can come in and try to, you know, put together whatever they believe that scheme is. But until you're behind closed doors on what the Oregon Ducks do, you have no clue on what's going on. And that's what's going to keep them at the top. You know, so they're
And I'll tell you something, I'll be honest with you. I fear the day that some of these other Pac-12 schools actually start to kind of poach from Oregon's staff, because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of guys that I know on that staff who, within the next year or two, I guarantee you're going to hear grumblings about they're getting this job offer, they're going there. You know, Scott Frost, he's one of those guys. You know, also another aspect of Oregon football that a lot of people don't even realize, as far as the speed and the tempo and the conditioning, is strength and conditioning coach Jimmy Radcliffe. I mean, that's a guy right there. I mean, he's been with the program for years, you know, and he knows his stuff. And that's why when you look at Oregon's offensive defensive linemen, like you've never seen any big over muscle bound players out there in Oregon, but you see guys who are really fit, really toned, but very explosive, you know. And so, like I said, that's my fear, is that some of these other schools, maybe they go grab one of Jimmy Radcliffe's proteges, you know, right. Maybe they go out and they grab a Scott Frost and they start kind of poaching from Oregon. That's when you're really going to see the parity.
Yeah, so you mentioned a big fear. Of course, you were down here in Northern California last week, and, you know, we're rooting on our favorite team. But at the same time, you couldn't help, and when I'm talking about the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
So you have Chip Kelly, you know, at the professional level, and you're talking about your biggest fear. Wouldn't that be one to have Chip Kelly, you know, start to teach some of these coaches in the NFL, and then maybe one of these assistant coaches comes back to the NCAA and maybe one in the Pac-12 and starts to figure out some of the things that the Ducks do?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I'm telling you, I mean, I hate to say it, but like they say in the NFL, it stands for not for long. So, I mean, there's always a chance. We don't know how long Chip Kelly is going to stay in Philadelphia. And who knows what goes on there? If he comes back to the college ranks, I mean, not only would he have other guys that have coached with him, but if he came back to the college ranks with the knowledge and the pedigree of being a former NFL coach and how that would help him in recruiting, just imagine what a guy like Chip Kelly could do then, going back to college.
Definitely. And so, hey, David, we thank you, man. Thank you for coming on here and giving your insight on the Pac-12. And of course, you know, this, as you had mentioned before, it's always a subject up for debate. And, you know, I'm just happy that we have the Pac-12 in the SEC. And of course, there are other conferences, don't get me wrong, but that we can actually have this discussion, because for a while it wasn't like that. And so the Pac-12, you know, definitely rising up. And, you know, always good to have you on the show, man.
Okay, hey, thanks for having me, fellas. And also, you know, go Ducks. And to all them haters out there, you only hate us because you ain't us.
Well, David, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening tonight and calling in when Sean Boyd was SEC focused.
Woo,
and hopefully
man,
we can have you on after the Civil War at the end of the month.
Yes.
Definitely. I'll get with you, fellas.
All right, David.
All right, there goes David Massey from Portland, Oregon, our Oregon Ducks insider with the impromptu phone call here on the Double with the Double S Express. David using the holysmokednuts.com phone lines. Goodness, a little bit of overtime here tonight on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Boyd.
Man, it was fun, man. You know, I'm glad that you gave me the chance to actually get out and say some stuff. And I wish Max Strong was on, because I did want to talk to him about that Georgia-Auburn game. But doggone it, we'll get a chance to talk about it down the line. You know, I've got the big S on my chest. I can kind of see the vision, you know, as we're on the other side of the top 25 at the beginning of the season. Now we're staring right at that BCS, man. And you know, David didn't say this, but right now in the BCS top 10, Oregon's still ahead of Auburn. You know, Oregon's number 6, Auburn's number 7. So still a little bit of ways to go, man.
Absolutely. A little bit of ways to go in college and a little bit further in the NFL, and the NBA's got a whole lot more to go. And we didn't even get to the fact that Lloyd McClendon's the new manager in Seattle for
baseball. Congratulations.
Yes, all kinds of things happening all over the map, and we can't get to it all. And as you see, we've gone over the hour here on the Double with the Double S Express. And definitely hit us up on Twitter or find us on Facebook. You can email us. You can email me, Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at double-s-express.com. Email Sean Boyd, S-E-A-N, at double-s-express.com. Many ways to get a hold of us. Let us know what you think. You can call the show next Monday night on the holysmokednuts.com. Phone lines, 888-429-5471. And if you missed the show or you want to hear it again, iTunes is one way to do that. If you are a fan of Apple, you've got the iPhone, the iPad, iTunes on your computer. Maybe you have a Mac. Podcasts available on iTunes, brought to you by holysmokenuts.com, where you can get garlic, chipotle smoked almonds, or natural smoked almonds, real wood smoked products. holysmokenuts.com.
Man, that's a mouthful, man.
And I hope I got it out and sounded great.
You did, man. You did. And so show number 27 in the books.
Hard show to imagine.
This is some awesome stuff. And so we get a lot in. And again, as Sean had mentioned, you know, give us a call or send an email and let us know what you think of the show. And, man, it's been a great show, Mr. Wally.
That is the voice of Sean Boyd in Sacramento, California. Actually a suburb, Elk Grove, California, to be exact. And I am Sean Boyd in Tri-Cities, Washington, wrapping up show 27 on the Double with the Double S Express. We will talk to you next Monday for Sean Boyd. I'm Sean Wally. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.